We will want to explore more deeply another Sunday what the church can and must do in order to change, lest we lose an entire generation. Today I want to explore for a moment the depth of the core of this reality that is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. I like the language, young adults ought to like it too, that Eugene Peterson uses in translating one of the verses of the 139th Psalm. Peterson writes, "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I am about." I wonder if you would ever make a request like that of God. "Investigate my whole life, please, Almighty God. I want you to know everything about me." I will admit that I might have to clear my own throat a few times before I prayed a prayer like that, and yet this is the core of the matter. Whom else can we trust to know us fully and to care for us unconditionally? It does no good to present a false face to God, because God can see through to the very heart of who we are. I believe that beneath and beyond our longings for one another, in a romantic sense, in a sexual sense, in the sense of friendship, in the sense of community, beneath and beyond all of that, is our need to be close to our Creator. What was it Augustine said? Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. God, our Creator, who knitted us together in our mother's wombs in the first place, and who has promised to guide us every day in the way everlasting. God does know the whole story already. The psalmist, not with resentment, but with gratitude and a sense of marvel, says, "Lord, you know what I'm going to say before I even know what I'm going to say. You know how many breaths I'm going to take before I even breathe a breath or live my life." When you first think about these things, they sound a little scary. I mean, really, can't we have a few boundaries here? But then we remember that God is after us. God wants to know and does know all about us, not because God is trying to get us, but because God wants to help us, to give us divine grace, wants to keep us from falling off this or that or the other deep end. If I go out to the farthest limits of my anxiety, and I have no idea of how I'm going to get through the next week or the next month, it's really good to know that way out there on the edge, God is going to hold me fast. If I walk through such a time of depression that the darkness has covered me up, I can hang on for dear life to the assurance that the darkness itself is of light, is as light to the Lord. All of us will have darkness sooner or later before we're done. And most of us will have that feeling sooner or later before we're done that God is far away, that maybe God has stopped caring for us and we have been abandoned in some way. But think of this. Think of how it is on a dreary, cloudy day. You cannot see the sun at all. But do you doubt that behind the clouds, the sun is there and the sun is shining? It is the same with God. It is the same with God. The psalmist says, even if I make my bed in hell, God will be there too. If I were to ask you what the number one problem facing young people today is, I wonder what you would say. I would say it's the same problem I faced when I was a young adult. I would say it's the same problem my grandparents probably faced. And it is a simple problem, but a universal one. And that is the question of whether or not I matter. The psychologist used the term self-esteem. I think that beneath the self-esteem question is the existential question of whether or not it makes any difference that I'm in the world or not. Do I matter? Do I have any worth? I sometimes watch a very rough television show on HBO called The Wire. It's set in Baltimore. It's about a lot of things. Drug trafficking, police corruption, and so on and so forth. But mainly it is about kids and young adults and even older adults who are concluded that they do not matter to anybody, certainly not to God or to other people. And so they're willing to do just about anything to themselves and to others. How many people there are in this world, how many young people, how many young adults there are who have never had anyone tell them, you are wonderfully and fearfully made. There is no one on earth even remotely like you. You have a particular purpose that no one else who has ever lived or will ever live will be able to fulfill except you. You, your place in the world makes all the difference to God. Turns out the psalmist is right. Our Maker will go to any length for us, including dying on the cross to defeat our darknesses, including following us wherever it is we end up, and bringing us home. What was it Robert Frost wrote in The Hired Man? Home is the place where, if you have to go there, they have to take you in there. That's the way God is with us. Our home is with God, and God will not let us get away. I think of the older poem written by Francis Thompson. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind, and in the midst of tears, I hid from him, and under running laughter, up vistas, hopes, I sped, and yet those strong feet followed, followed after. O love that will not let us go. The church in the 21st century must be the place where people of all ages, but especially young people, hear the great news that there is a love that will not let them go. That we matter to God, not just a little bit, but a whole lot. God will go with us all the way. The church needs to be the place where we get the message that God is not wanting to destroy us or exercise wrath against us. God celebrates the wonder and uniqueness of who we are. Here, The message needs to be loud and clear that nothing, not even the worst that life can do, can break the bonds we have with God and that God has with us. Creature, creator, I, thou, in life and in death, we belong to God. It is a done deal. We belong to God forever. There is one thing in this world we must never forget. Not our password, not our social security number. Those mean nothing compared to this. The one thing we must never forget is that we owe our lives to the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. We owe our lives to the one who has dropped the mantle of dignity upon our shoulders and who has promised to go with us all the way. I close with these words from a prayer of Thomas Merton, the great Trappist monk. Dear God, I have no idea where I'm going. I cannot see the road ahead of me. I do not know where it will end, nor do I know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following you does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe this. I believe that the desire on my part to please you does please you. And I know that if I persist in trying to please you, you will lead me by the right road. Therefore, I will trust you always, for though I may be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for I know that you will never, never leave me to face my troubles alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.